Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
7 minutes past six. Hello and welcome to Sports Day, the trade deadline edition, where we will, without fear or favour, give you the absolute latest news and analysis about who has gone where and why. Well, if you've had a big day at work and you've just come up for air, Jaden Stevenson is a North Melbourne player. He and his Collingwood teammate, now North Melbourne teammate, Artu Bosinavalagu, has gone to Arden Street in exchange for picks. We'll tell you the picks and the trades in all details shortly. And after initially reneging, Richmond have allowed Jack Higgins to join St Kilda. They've moved higher up the draft order and there was an exchange of picks later as well. Young Lion Alex Witherden has returned home to Western Australia and will play with the Eagles next year. And one of the most fascinating stories of the trade period, Ben Brown, has finally this afternoon become a Demon. He is seconds away from joining us and giving his first interview in Melbourne colours. But where to for Josh Dunkley, for Adam Treloar, for Orazio Fantasia, for Jai Caldwell, and of course, the biggest one of all, Jeremy Cameron. We are 90 minutes, in fact less, from the trade deadline, and their deals are yet to be done. We're about to be joined by Ben Brown. We're also going to be joined by Robbie D'Orazio, the manager of Jaden Stevenson. Stevenson himself, by the way, has made some incredible comments in the last hour. We will get to those and more. But let's welcome my co-host, Matty Granlund, who joins us on the trade deadline day. Matty, welcome.
G'day, Sam. Very excited. So 7:30, the deadline. The cynicking me says, the AFL a couple of years ago had 7:30 as the deadline for a bit of a dramatic effect. Maybe a few clubs are waiting for right on deadline to get these deals done. But let's go through all of them and see what you know. We'll start with Jeremy Cameron, the biggest fish of all. Yep. Do you think that will get done?
I think it does, because they're not going to lose him for nothing. Geelong, though, won't. I mean, people say Geelong here have the whip hand because he's out of contract and he'll leave anyway. I understand that. But they also can't afford to walk him to the preseason draft. One, it's messy. Two, it doesn't look good. And three, there's risk. Mm. You know, like someone could easily find the money to take Jeremy Cameron. It's not quite like it was with Jack Martin. So for that reason, Matty, I think that gets done.
So they're just haggling over picks pretty much?
Yeah. And it's 13, 15, and 20 at the moment. I think 15 and 20 was an offer. 13 was then put on the table, but for then a later pick. I think it's going to be 13 and either 15, or maybe Geelong just back themselves in to win it and give them next year's pick.
Yep.
Anyway, and there's a lot to be done. And to be honest, as we go to air right now, there has been a huge stalemate between Essendon and the Western Bulldogs. In fact, my understanding is that the Western Bulldogs have basically told Essendon, don't bother coming back because Essendon aren't budging on pick 8 and the Bulldogs aren't budging on wanting 2 first-round picks. But they still believe they can make Adam Treloar a Western Bulldogs player by 7:30. Anyway, we digress because a man that didn't have to wait right up until 7:30, he did have to wait until the final day, though, is Ben Brown, one of the most prolific goal-kicking forwards of the last 4 or 5 seasons. In fact, we talked about Jeremy Cameron. In those 3 years of 17, 18, and 19, Ben Brown actually kicked more goals than Jeremy Cameron. He has proven to be an excellent player and very, very valuable. He moves from Arden Street, not far down the road, to the Melbourne Footy Club, where he'll be playing out of the goal square. And he joins us live on Sports Day. Ben, welcome. Congratulations. You must be excited.
Hello, guys. Yeah, very excited, and thank God it didn't go down this far to the wire, like you guys are saying.
I tell you what, Ben, and we'll get to how excited you are about playing for your new club, but we here, you know, we turn up to radio and we write stories and we think, how good is the trade period? You're on the other side of the fence thinking, can I please just get this deal done? I don't want to be sitting here at 7:28 wondering.
Yeah, exactly, 100%. No, I mean, we're pretty confident the whole way through that you know, we'd work it out, I suppose, between North Melbourne and Melbourne. So it was more just, you know, waiting to see when that time would be, and obviously waiting to the last day. You know, the stress levels go up a little bit, but no, I'm stoked with how it's worked out now and really excited to move on and get stuck into pre-season and start meeting some people.
Can you take us through the process, Ben, of when obviously you had the discussion with North Melbourne to say that you know you were open to leaving and they were open to trading you? When you know what did you do then? Did you talk to your manager? How many clubs did you talk to? Take us through that process.
Yeah, it was probably at the end of the year during my exit meeting. You know, sat down with Reece Shaw and Brady Rawlings, and they told me that you know they thought it'd be best for me to look at my options elsewhere, and that they probably thought my time at North was over. And previous to that, we've been pretty committed to North Melbourne and trying to get something done there. But after that point, you know, that obviously made it pretty clear to me that I needed to start looking for other clubs. And from pretty much the first bell, I felt really confident about the way North present the way Melbourne presented to me, and you know. It felt like it'd be a pretty exciting place to roll into. So I'm pretty happy with how it's all gone down and really lucky that I was able to get to the home that I wanted to get to.
We'll talk about the future in a moment and the Demons, but just take us through this season, an odd year for everyone, for every club, for every player living in hubs. Take us through your experience, Ben, and it probably wasn't the best year for you. And why do you think that was?
Yeah, it was an odd season for everyone. I think that's a good way to sum it up. And you know, it was a lot for a lot of different people having to you know, pick up and move and move into the hub. And you know, if you'd asked me how I wanted this year to go, you know, from the club perspective and an individual perspective as well, I probably wouldn't have written it the way I've written it. But I suppose that's the way things have gone now. And I think even just for my you know, for me, from a mental point of view, I think moving on from this year is the best thing to do. I know that I can play the game at a really high level. I think I've shown that over the past few years, and now I've just got to do some learning of my own and get to know a new game plan and a new way of doing things and get to know a few teammates. So that's probably where my mind's at the moment.
Hey, Ben, it's obviously a really significant move for you. I know it is any time that a player leaves, but you were a much-loved member of the North Melbourne Footy Club, not just for what you brought on the field, but for off it as well. You're a big part of their community program, which I know is a big thing at Arden Street. Whatever the circumstances were, and you can tell us in your own words, but it must have been difficult to know that, you know, you kicked a lot of goals for that club. You were part of what was a successful team and a team that was rebuilding. Having to move workplaces is hard for anyone. Having to uproot your life and move footy clubs when you've been so invested there must be a difficult thing as well.
Yeah, it's been, to be honest, it's been unbelievably difficult and, you know, disappointing in a lot of ways to, you know, to be told that you're not required at a club anymore. I feel like I have poured a lot into, and my family's poured a lot into too. Not only myself, but you know, my wife's been part of the North Gender Equality Working Group for a number of years now. So, and I feel like we've both tried to get involved where we can in community programs and things like that. But the great thing is I'll look back on that time with so many awesome memories that I've been able to make and some friends that I'm sure will be lifelong friends as well. You know, so that's the good side of it. Obviously, it's hard, but these things do happen. You know, I've learned a bit about the AFL industry in the last couple of months and you have just got to roll with the punches a little bit, you know, and I think that's what I've got to do now. And I think I'm really excited to go to a club like Melbourne, which is also really prolific in the community space, has a really strong AFLW program, which is huge for me. I'm really excited to get into it.
And how hard been those last few months? You know, you're in a hub. You know, the club is losing most weeks, so you don't get that release because you're in the hub and you're seeing your teammates and your coaches every single day. You don't get to go home and, you know, get away from things. And then, you know, you're thinking about your own future. I mean, how do you sort of process all that?
Yeah, I mean, it was a unique situation and I think you had to be really flexible this year. You know, it wasn't only hard on me. I think it was hard on so many people in the AFL industry and and hard on, particularly, you know, I was really lucky to be able to have my family there, but particularly some of the staff members who, you know, weren't given the opportunity to bring family up or had to wait a long time to be able to do that. You know, it was particularly difficult for them. So he is hoping that that's the last time we have to consider doing something like we did this year. But, you know, it was just one of those things, and it's thrown up challenges. COVID's thrown up challenges for everyone. We're very much, you know, conscious that we've been living in our own little bubble and that there have been so many people out there doing it tough. So, you know, we've really been extremely lucky to be able to go away into the hub and still be able to work and still be able to, you know, provide some joy for people, hopefully, that were, you know, that we're struggling at times this year, and I know a lot of people still are. So, yeah, just time to move on now, and for me personally, onto another footy club, which is a really exciting thing to do now.
It is, and you've got some exciting players that you'll be playing with. What are you most looking forward to about playing under Simon Goodwin? And I guess, do you think they play in a different way that North Melbourne did this year, Ben? Do you see yourself as a better chance of kicking more goals for them than the way that North played this year?
Oh, I've definitely still got a lot of learning to do about the way that they play. And that'll only come with experience too. I think it's as much about, you know, getting to know your teammates and the way that they play as well as the game plan and trying to fit into that. So I'm under no illusions that I'm going to have to do some learning. I'll hopefully be able to do some teaching too. And I'm really excited to work with some pretty exciting young tall players that are sort of around in that forward line, like Sam Wiedemann and Luke Jackson, and also, you know, to be working alongside some of the older stages too, like Max Gorn. And, you know, it's pretty exciting looking at the midfield that they've got put together as well. You know, as a forward, you are, you know, to an extent reliant on what happens upfield. And I think Melbourne's midfield and even their defence they've built in the last couple of years is really strong. So hopefully I'll be able to add in some way to that.
Ben, you've had an outstanding career thus far, 130 games, 287 goals. That's good going in anyone's book. Congratulations on what you've achieved so far. Good luck at Melbourne.
Thanks very much, guys.
Ben Brown there, new full forward of the Melbourne Football Club. This is Sports Day. We'll be right back.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy, and for Kia, the all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Well, the Ben Brown deal, as we just heard from the man himself, went down this afternoon. A couple of hours later, so did the deal for Jaden Stevenson. No doubt the Collingwood Footy Club were always going to be under probably the biggest spotlight today, Matty. It's the Pies, yep, and the Bombers who I reckon are the two stories of the trade period. I know that Cameron is probably the biggest player, but that spotlight is only going to shine brighter after this trade with Stevenson went through this afternoon.
He said he doesn't know if I've allowed myself to open up to the group, which I don't necessarily agree with. But if that's how he saw it, he's the coach, and he's provocative. So I'll definitely be endearing myself to my new teammates and coaches, and hopefully I can, put a better foot forward there if that's what he thought my problem was.
It was fascinating stuff from Stevenson on SEN. He was, of course, talking about his discussions over the phone with Collingwood coach Nathan Buckley. Robbie D'Orazio from Connor Sports is Stevenson's manager, and he joins us live on Sports Day. Robbie, appreciate your time. How hard was this deal to get done in the end?
Thanks, guys. It wasn't hard, really, Sam. It was more making the decision, I guess, was the difficult part of the whole thing. So you heard Jaden speak before. I'm very proud of the way he's handled himself in this situation. And it's quite unique and something that I hope not many players have to go through. You know, it was quite a tough decision for a boy who actually wanted to probably stay there. But in the end, was shown the door to a degree.
Are you disappointed with Collingwood, Robbie?
Oh, look, it's a big business now, Sam, as we know, and this is probably the unsavoury part of the discussion. So, you know, disappointed, but no, they've got a job to do, and understand that Ned and the team there with Walshy and Bucks have got to look after Collingwood. So, no, I wouldn't say I'm disappointed, and it's probably the way the game's going.
Robbie, how did this particular one work? Because usually, you know, list managers and managers, player managers get together, you know, during the year and talk and have regular dialogue. You might get a bit of a heads up that they're looking at maybe trading a player. Did this happen in this particular instance, or was it something out of the blue?
I wouldn't say we were chatting about Jaden specifically throughout the year. I did the Brody Grundy deal earlier in the year, and everyone was pretty happy the way that unfolded at before the year started. And Jaden was coming off not as good a year as the first one he had, but had full faith that he was going to bounce back. Look, the hub, Paul Connors and I were talking about it just before. The hub life probably wasn't great for Jaden, and because we weren't up there to be able to experience it. And you know, we usually catch up with our boys for a coffee regularly and, you know, touch and feel, and we didn't get to do that. So as the year transpired, you could tell Jaden was probably a shell of himself. So when the phone rang to have a chat with Ned, it probably wasn't a surprise, but I'm surprised that they've traded such a talented young player, that's for sure.
And then when it happened, it was quite forthright. We heard the grab there of Jaden himself. He said he called Nathan Buckley. I mean, that seems odd to me. Usually, isn't it the club or the coach that makes the call? Is that sort of how it happened?
Yeah. No, I'd already spoken to Ned without going into too much. We're already down the track a little bit, and then it got to a point where Jaden being, Jaden's really, he's a complex character, and I love everything about him, but he just thought he took it on himself to ring the coach and say, do you want me or not? So it was the way that he wanted to handle it. He knows Bucks better than most, and obviously spent a lot of time with him. So, you know, hearing it from the horse's mouth was something Jaden wanted to do, and Jaden heard it from Bucks, and we got to work.
Robbie, Jaden's 21. Hard to believe. I mean, in footy terms, he's a baby, but just in regular terms, he is so young. He's a young man making his way in the world, and he's got a lot of footy ahead of him. What does he bring to the North Melbourne Footy Club, who have said that they're rebuilding, but I reckon it accelerates your rebuild when you can bring in a guy who's got 10 years left, who's already had 3 years at the highest level, and probably have now, what, three of the top 11 picks from that draft, just off the top of my head?
Well, they have, yeah. LDU's there, Steve was pick 6, and Aiden Bonner was pick 11,
yep.
Who we traded there last year. Look, I'm a big believer in footy, especially nothing as bad as it seems, nothing as good as it seems. I remember 2 years ago, Dylan Scheel was picking between St Kilda, Essendon and Carlton, and rewind that. Now St Kilda's a destination club, so I don't think I think if I'm a supporter of any football club at the moment, you'd have full faith that it's going to get better quick. So look, Jaden, in the end, we didn't have many options, to be honest with you. North Melbourne came, presented Scott Clayton, Glenn Luff, and the team. Jaden barracked for, or his dad barracked for North Melbourne as a kid. He did his AIS program there through the under-18s. And really liked it. And when they skipped him at pick 4 in that draft, he still remembered, he wanted to go to North at pick 4. So obviously he went to Collingwood at pick 6 and had a great first year, kicking 38 goals and winning the Rising Star. So look, if I'm a North Melbourne supporter, I'd be really excited. And I think this might be the kick in the pants maybe that he needs. And I'd be worried next year if you're playing on Jaden Stevenson, because I think he's going to have a big preseason and show everyone what he's worth.
And what's the role that North have sold to him? Is it that X-factor forward, or is it, maybe playing further up the ground as a wingman?
Well, I think he's going to work on both of those roles. But to start with, I think just coming out of the square would be great for Jaden. But he acknowledges he probably needs to train harder, build his body. The glandular fever didn't help, which has been well documented, but he's already engaged in a personal trainer. So he's going to do a lot of hard work now to get ready for pre-season. But yeah, look, multiple roles, wing, he wouldn't mind going inside mid as well. I've seen him play that as an under-18s player. So he's got a lot of possibilities. And as I said, North Melbourne's, they've got a steal of a draft there with, a draft hand. They keep their two first-round picks. And they get R2, who we also manage, who's a little electric small forward, and they've given up basically nothing. So, yeah, well done to North.
Well done to North, indeed. It does look a good deal for North Melbourne. Robbie, one of your other clients, Lockie Fogarty, Fogarty. Okay. he was quite liked. In fact, he was very liked from the people I spoke to at Geelong in the last 48 hours. They were disappointed to lose him. Why the Blues, and where do you think he'll play for them?
Fogs is a pick 22 a few years ago and a great character. And Stephen Wells, obviously, I think first and foremost, picks great characters. So Geelong, he just couldn't get the opportunity there. And another one is contracted. So we knew that if we asked for a trade, it wasn't going to be easy because he's well respected. It's funny, we actually managed Patrick Dangerfield, who rang and gave me a good, yelled at me down the phone saying, don't trade him. That's how much he's well respected. So obviously bringing older players in again this year with Higgins and Smith was going to make it even harder next year. So look, he's a hard-working small forward who'll go in inside mid, but tackles ferociously. And for me, I was talking to Nick Austin, their list manager, the other day. He reminds me of a Kane Lambert sort of player. Give us work hard up and down, tackle, create havoc for the opposition and hit the scoreboard. So no, I think he's a really good young player who gets his opportunity at the Blues.
I think all we took out of that, the headline will be that Dangerfield screams at D'Orazio. Anyway, we might save that for another day. Robbie, well done on getting all the deals done. I'm sure you're probably due a beer. Enjoy it. And let's hope that Jaden Stevenson... By the way, on that, Robbie, is it 5 years for Stevenson?
It's 5 years, yeah.
Right, okay. So it's great news that he gets to get a little bit more... extension on his career, and I think that's great news for everyone. Thanks, Robbie. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Fascinating, Jaden Stevenson. Here's a quote from the great Lee Matthews, Sam, from his first year of football, Jaden Stevenson. This is Lee Matthews' quote on Sports Day. He said this: he is one of the best young players I've seen in a long time. They look like they've nailed the draft there. He's talking about Collingwood. He looks like a skinny 18-year-old, but he's handling it well. Whenever he has a set shot at goal, he kicks it. He's a beauty. What has happened to Jaden Stevenson? And I'm fascinated to hear from Collingwood supporters as well how you feel about this, that Jaden Stevenson, a rising star winner, obviously has had a poor year, but it's been an odd year, obviously, in the hub. He's gone. He's gone to North Melbourne at 21.
It's a great question, Matty, and one that we should relay to our big listenership here on Sports Day. 13-13-32 on the Harcourts open line. It's actually a good time of the show to take the temperature of what has been happening. Now, whether you want to talk about Ben Brown, whether you want to talk about one of the trades that hasn't been done, and we will provide you with the latest in our Tyre Power Sports update. But Collingwood fans in particular, I've had a flurry of messages. I've got a lot of Collingwood supporters as mates who are angry, and they seem to be more angry about losing Stevenson than the potential of losing Treloar. So, given the great Lee Matthews said that in 2018, I think, on this show, that's fascinating. Collingwood fans, 13-13-32, your feeling on the deal that has sent Jaden Stevenson to Arden Street. This is Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. We'll be right back.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day for Kia and Red Energy. Before the news, some callers on the Harcourts open line. Rod's in Myrtleford. G'day, Rod.
G'day, boys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, not sour grapes, and I'm really pleased for young Jaden Stevenson that he's got a five-year deal and gets to continue to live his dream as playing an AFL player. Good on him. I'm very happy for him. But in all honesty, and as I said, it's not sour grapes, I feel sad for him because going to North Melbourne, I think he's blown the chance of ever playing in a premiership, a grand final or finals while he's there. He'll probably end up with a 75% losing record in the team that he's playing with. He might even pick up a couple of wooden spoons, but I'm sure he'll try his guts out individually, but I can't see him having any team success.
Rod, what would you have done if you were him?
I would have chosen a better team in Melbourne that was better placed to perhaps hit the finals, maybe Carlton.
But unfortunately,
like that,
Rod, as you would have heard from his manager then, he said he didn't have any other option.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sorry. I got into the show a little late and missed it.
No, that's okay.
That interview. So, yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't have that information behind me. But if there was any chance he could have gone to a better placed Victorian club, I mean, I would have been a little bit happier for him. I just feel a bit sad that there's not a lot of chance of really good success in 5 years at North Melbourne.
Well, we heard Robbie D'Orazio talk about the St Kilda example than a few years ago. No one wanted to go to St Kilda. Now have a look at the Saints under Brett Ratton, and they've got more players in, and you can turn the corner. I mean, it's going to be a pretty lean year, you would think, the next couple of years for North, but you know, they go to the draft, they get maybe a few more mature players in next year. Who knows? They could turn the corner pretty quickly.
Rick's in Bairnsdale. G'day, Rick.
How you going, guys?
Be good.
Mate, look, I'm a poor supporter. Mate, I'm pretty disgusted, actually. I can't see... There's more internal issues, I think, with this club. And I just don't get it.
Thanks, Rick. I think there are a few Pies fans that have that level of frustration at the moment. We'll try to tap into more of that as the show goes on. Matt's in North Melbourne. G'day, Matt.
Hey, guys. Melbourne, because we've got a really, really good young list coming up of LDU, Simpkin, Thomas.
Yep.
We've now got Stephenson. We'll get Logan McDonald. We've got investment for Ben Brown. The sky's the limit, and I think this rebuild's going to be a lot quicker than everyone is saying.
Yeah, I actually tend to agree with Matt. I'm not saying they're going to be a good team next year. I think they've done a really good thing with getting guys in like Stevenson, Bosovilagu, to guys that have already played but are still young, continue that rebuild and maybe even fast-track it. Let's get to news headlines now with Tony Tardio for Scott Pack. Turn unpaid invoices into cash at scottpack.com.au. Tony.
Good evening. Health Department Secretary Kim Peake has resigned and will be replaced by Professor Ewan Wallace. Ms Peake had been under pressure over her role in the hotel quarantine scheme after telling the inquiry she believed responsibility for the failures was shared, even though her department was ultimately in charge. A special war crimes prosecutor will be appointed to investigate claims of unlawful killings in Afghanistan by Australian forces. It follows a four-year investigation probing 55 incidents. It's claimed special forces indiscriminately killed a number of Afghanis between 2005 and 2016. A man in his 40s has suffered serious upper body injuries after becoming caught up in the propeller of a boat off Queenscliff. The accident occurred near the lighthouse this afternoon. And Daniel Andrews says the whole community will benefit from an improved mental health system, announcing a new big spend. More news at 7.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome to Hot Goss.
This week's unexpected celeb is a $2 Big Mac in Macca's 30 Days, 30 Deals.
Brad, what's happening?
A deal every day of November. You should get the My Macca's app.
See an app for today's delicious deal.
Tyre Power is open for business. We're committed to helping the essential services and the community get to where they need to be. Each Tyre Power store is an independent family business and knows how important trust, reliability and safety are right now. And with all the hygiene protocols in place, we will find a way to help, no matter your situation. So if you need to be on the road, call your local independent Tyre Power dealer on 1321 91.
Welcome to Hot Goss.
This week's unexpected celeb is a $2 Big Mac in Macca's 30 Days, 30 Deals.
Brad, what's happening?
A deal every day of November. You should get the My Macca's app.
See an app for today's delicious deal.
Time for a Sports Day news update for Tyre Power. Awarded Canstar Blue's most satisfied customers again.
Welcome back. The Tyre Power Sports Update. Sam McClure and Matt Grandall with you on Sports Day. It is trade deadline day. We are less than 50 minutes away from trade deadline. Still no deal for Cameron. No deal for Treloar. No deal for Dunkley. Not for Fantasia. Not for Caldwell. We'll get to more of it. The Australian 17-man squad for the upcoming Test Series against India announced today. As expected, Will Pekowski and fellow young gun Cam Green were included. Mitch Swepson was in there as well. Sean Abbott, a big inclusion. Well done to Sean and Michael Nisa as well. And despite struggling for form of late, incumbent opener Joe Burns keeps his spot in the squad. You would think, though, that the biggest threat to that is Pekowski in that starting 11 alongside David Warner. And footy news that's non-trade related. I know, I just said it, non-trade related. Carlton fan favourite Eddie Betts. Well, I think we all knew, but it was announced today. He is extending his career. He's signed on again and will be at the Blues for 2021. And North Melbourne, by the way, small defender Jed Anderson has signed for a further 2 years at the Kangaroos, someone that Matthew Lloyd, I think, said Carlton should go hard after. So good news there at Arden Street. This is Sports Day for Tyre Power. You can save on selected Falcon passenger and four-wheel drive tyres. You can buy three and get one free at Tyre Power. Let's take your calls next, Maddie. Let's continue to get the temperature. Melbourne fans with Ben Brown, North Melbourne fans of losing him, Magpie fans, and also, where are the Essendon fans, Maddie? And where are these deals? Are they getting done? They've still got to get Caldwell and Dunkley done, and we've got less than 50 minutes. We've got 47 minutes and counting. How has it got here?
TikTok.
Adrian Dodora, he's the master, isn't he? Well, he is if he gets the deals done.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
We are here for Maccas on Sports Day. Maccas 30 Days, 30 Deals is back. You can download the My Maccas app today. 13, 13, 32. Let's hear from the footy fans out there. Are you happy with your club's trade work? Or potentially a touch disgruntled? Sam McClure and Matt Granlund in the chair. Marcus is in Essendon. G'day, Marcus.
Hey, boys. Thanks for having me on. I just want to express my frustration towards the situation Collingwood have put themselves into right now. Salary dumping their players has obviously told the other clubs that the other clubs aren't going to give Collingwood their best deal for Stevenson, etc. That's why they got picked 26, basically. I just don't understand another poor management decision by Collingwood to let some of your best young players in Jaden Stevenson and then also Adam Treloar basically go for really not what they should be getting if it was in a normal scenario. What do you boys think about it?
I just wonder, Sam, how much of it has to do with money and salary cap and how much of it has to do with list management and we don't think that player is in our future going forward. I mean, obviously they've had some cap issues. So with Treloar, the Treloar deal does get done and he goes to the Western Bulldogs. We're hearing that that's moving along a little bit and they've got until 7:30 to get it done. But how much the money has played a role here with both Stevenson and if indeed Treloar goes to the Western Bulldogs.
Yep. I agree with that. And I also think it's possible that they're different scenarios. Like, I don't think there's anyone at Collingwood that would suggest that Treloar's not their best 10 players. Would you agree with that?
Yep.
But I think there's probably a question mark over, given what happened this year and his drop of form, do they think that Jaden Stevenson is in their best team next year? And he's on a lot of money.
Yep.
So different circumstances, but I agree that money's clearly played a part. Now, whether that's 20% of the decision-making or 80% of the decision-making, somewhere in the middle.
And then you get young players so like a Josh Dacos that might, okay, he's not on big money now, but
you know, he's going to want big money.
He's exploding and he's going to want big money, so we're going to have to free some up for a player like him. So it's a pretty complex thing when you're putting the jigsaw together.
And to be honest, and I'm not defending Collingwood at all here, I'm just saying that whilst people would say that Collingwood have made mistakes with their cap, and I know that Beams has really hurt them, all clubs that are contending will tell you, if they're honest, they've all got cap problems. Some have got much bigger problems than others, but just look at the Giants. I mean, like, everyone tries to get, you push the limits right up into the limits, and if you win one, it doesn't matter what happens after that.
Yep.
And they got within 5 points. Carol's on the Bass Coast. G'day, Carol.
Oh, hi. How you going?
Really well.
Good old Sainter here. A good old Sainter here.
Excellent, Carol. What do you think of your Saints?
I listened to the 66 grand final on the radio, and I would like to say, our Brett Ratton as a coach today, Jared Roughhead, and the one from the other code. I would just
Billy
like
Slater.
To say we have Billy. Yeah, I would like to say thank you to Brett Ratton and all those people. At least we have a little bit of hope now, and they got the player from Richmond last year, and we had a lovely year and. You know what, in the Kobe year, we had a beautiful year this year. And you know what, I'm absolutely impressed with who they've got at St Kilda now.
Oh, Maddie, someone, we might have to cut that up. Carol, thank you for calling in. We'll send that over to Matt Finnis and Simon Lethlean and James Gallagher.
And Brett Ratton too.
And Brett Ratton, why not? It is, in all honesty, lovely to hear. And Robbie talked about it, you know, 2 years ago. Where were the Saints? Where were they going? What was their identity? Are they going backwards? Are they going forwards? Now look at them. So
they were bold, weren't they? They were bold at the end of last year. Okay, let's shake it up. and let's get muscle on the bone. That was their big problem. They had young players. You get an injury or two, and you know you're losing. So they were able just to bolster their stocks and give themselves a little bit more muscle on the bone. So if they do get an injury, you know, there's a player that could come in and replace. Jack Higgins now goes from Richmond to St Kilda, so another player that could potentially play a lot
and
of
you
senior
don't,
footy.
You don't hit on all of them, by the way. And Hanbury at the moment hasn't lived up to the player that they thought he would be purely because of injury.
Yep.
But the other ones they've hit on. So I think they've played the statistics pretty well. Steve's next. G'day, Steve.
How you going, guys?
We're good.
Just wanted to talk about the Bombers. Like, and where's all the loyalty? It's all gone out the gate, especially with Danaher. We waited and waited and waited for him, and now he's nicked off to Brisbane.
Well, he wanted to go last year. He wanted to go to Sydney. It's interesting, Sam, and it'll be interesting with so the Western Bulldogs and Dunkley and Treloar with Collingwood. Now it's gone so far down the path. We saw that Danaher didn't go, didn't get his wish and stayed. He had injury but didn't go well. He went the following year. Whether or not it's good for clubs just to hold and not give in, or whether if a player publicly says, I want to go, I'm not happy in this environment, whether you just try and get a deal done because you don't want a disgruntled player back there like Danaher probably was this year at Essendon.
I think it's horses for courses, like you said. I think every situation is different and you've got to make a decision based on all of the circumstances put together. This is Sports Day for Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's Red Energy and our good friends at Kia.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Mitch Cleary from AFL.com.au saying that Essendon has knocked back a four-way trade that involved Nick Hind, the St Kilda player, Orazio Fantasia and Jai Caldwell. It sounds like the Giants they were trying to get involved as well, who would have pick 15 if they traded Cameron. So this is what usually happens. We're at 4 minutes to seven here. So we've got basically 34 minutes until papers have to be lodged. And you can sort of work out the other stuff after that. But as long as papers are lodged as it ticks over to 7:30, it's fine. It's going ridiculously down to the wire, given these four big deals. The last deal, as I look for trades here, the last deal with Stevenson and Boston Villaggi, which was, by the way, and a second-round pick, currently 39, and then Collingwood received a second-round pick, 26, and another second-round pick, 33, and a fourth-round pick, which is currently overall number 70. So Stevenson and Artu for 25. Just lost it on my screen, of course I have. In fact, there's just been a new trade. Melbourne has received two first-round picks, 18 and 19, and a future second-round pick. Brisbane receives a second-round pick, 25, and two fourth-round picks, and a future first. Okay, so Melbourne has traded its future first to Brisbane for two first-round picks, 18 and 19, and a future second-round pick. Fascinating. Okay.
So a bit of pick swapping. Hey, worst case scenario for Cameron, Jeremy Cameron, okay, it doesn't get done for whatever reason. We talked about it off the top. So he goes to the draft. Is that what happened?
Well, he could go back to the Giants, but yes, he said he won't. Yep.
Okay. And then what happens there? Like, so
it's
Geelong.
It's a nightmare, really.
Geelong obviously don't have first pick. They don't have second pick. They're a fair way down the order.
They got 17th pick,
And, you know, obviously he's got a price on his head. Does that make a difference if clubs can't afford Jeremy
Cameron?
Yeah,
I mean, they try to put the current deal, it's what, 6 years at $950. They'd try to probably put a bigger price on his head. But I don't think he would get to Geelong if that happened. I think someone would move around enough money to take him, to be honest. He's a generational kind of player.
That's right.
He?
Yeah, he's a gun.
And Essendon don't have a full forward. You reckon Essendon won't be moving money around?
And then the other ones will just stay at their clubs. If the Treloar one doesn't get done, well, he's contracted for a number of years, he'll stay. And if the Dunkley one doesn't get done, he stays at the Western Bulldogs. So, yeah, I mean, they're not in the same situation as Cameron, where he's out of contract. He's done with GWS.
Unbelievable, quite frankly, to think that Cameron is not yet a Cat.
I know.
That Dunkley is not yet a Bomber. And that Treloar is not yet, well, anything at the moment. hard for him to go back to Collingwood. He's not yet a dog. They've got 31 minutes to get it done. Sam McClure and Matt Grellin on Sports Day. We're coming up to the 7 o'clock news.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. And Red Energy, born and bred in Melbourne. That's real Aussie energy. Switch today.
7 minutes past seven, you're listening to Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Sam McClure and Matt Granlund with you in the studio. And you can check the fire danger rating, by the way, at emergency.vic.gov.au. Later this hour, our man Benny Jones will catch up with Aussie golf journo Ben Everill from PGA.com, who's on the ground in Augusta covering the US Masters, which, of course, is only a few hours from getting underway. Five Aussies in action. But to kick off the hour, our focus is only in one place, Matty, and that is trade.
Well, give us an update. Who still needs to be done? 7.30 is the deadline, everybody.
So we've got 22 minutes. 22. All of the big ones, really. Astonishing to think that
Jeremy Cameron, who...
We all thought that would get done earlier, didn't we? I mean, not necessarily first week, but Stephen Wells, very, very experienced at Geelong. Jason McCartney's been around footy a long time, did the job of the Western Bulldogs, now head of footy and list manager at the Giants. They are digging their heels in, the Giants.
Well, give me a bit of an insight, because you work in this space more than I do. Like, say, Jeremy Cameron, that would have been a long time in the making. Like, that Geelong would have known during the year, maybe even a couple of years out, that he was keen to come to the Cats. So, obviously, they start to chat with his manager. They get a bit of a feel for... you know, what could get the deal done. Why does it go right up to nearly the deadline at 7.30, where this could have been in the works midway through the year? I mean, don't these managers and clubs talk and, Jeremy Cameron, he's going to go, he's going to leave GWS, he's going to go to Geelong. We probably think they're going to match it, GWS, so we're going to have to come up with a trade. Surely that, this has been in the works for a while.
You would think so, Matty. But clearly, they both have different valuations. And I think this is usually where the big stumbling blocks come in. Same with Josh Dunkley, the Western Bulldogs, and Essendon. You know, like, and Bulldogs value him high because he's contracted, and Essendon are saying, well, we've only got the one pick to offer you. With Geelong's argument would be, hang on, he's 28, okay? It's not as though he's 22. And you guys have matched. We could have got him as a free agent, but you guys have matched, fine. We think asking for double of the compensation is overs, so let's meet somewhere in the middle. The Giants' counter-argument will be, yeah, he's 28, but you're also giving him $1 million for 6 years. So you're paying him like he's a 22-year-old, so don't give us that argument. So it always depends on the lens that you look through as to the player's valuation, but I agree. I mean, they would have known this was coming for a long time. The Stevenson one happened late.
Yep.
And then the Treloar one, to me, is the most fascinating one that I've seen probably since I started doing this stuff. So for the last 10 years, I can't remember a more fascinating scenario of a guy with 5 years left on his deal that bleeds for the club, but the club have gone to him and said, we think you should move. His partner and young child going up to Queensland, and now he's not going to Queensland, and he's minutes away from either. He's 19 minutes away from either walking back in the door at Collingwood, with a lot of relationships damaged, some perhaps irreparably, or going to the Western Bulldogs, where he didn't want to be.
This is the thing that fascinates me, just on the Dunkley one, and we'll get to Treloar in a moment, where Dunkley, okay, Essendon have said to Dunkley, we want you. Dunkley says, I want to go. He publicly comes out and declares he wants to go. You would think that the Bombers would have a fair idea about how we get the deal done.
That's
so you don't publicly hang someone out to dry.
Yep.
When they put their hand up and go, I want to leave a club.
And that's what all the good managers will tell you. And that's what I think I said earlier in the week. Liam Pickering is one of those.
Yep.
Pickers is one of the great managers. He was behind the Franklin deal, of course, to send him to Sydney and not GWS, controversially. Has managed, Gary Ablett as well. And he would have known that exact thing. You know, the good managers will say, you don't declare you're going unless you know you can get there. Now, he still might get there. We've got 18 minutes and counting left. But if he doesn't, it's a really tough place that you put Dunkley in. Although, the Western Bulldogs will say, mate, it's not tough. Mm. He's got 2 years left. He's 23.
Yep.
he wanted to play a bit more time in the midfield. It's not as though we've had a falling out. But like, he comes back, it's fine. You know, don't worry about it. But Essendon will try to say, oh, well, there's more going on and there's cultural problems at the Dogs and, you know, he wants to leave for different reasons. And you've got to take everything with a grain of salt that footy clubs tell you.
And then the Treloar one, the better way to handle it would have been to give him more notice to sort of say to him during the year, look, we're thinking this, you know, our salary cap is not in great shape. We don't think you're in our plans going forward, but it sounds as though they've just put this on him at the last moment and he's shocked and they don't want me.
So my
teammates don't want me and they want me to go.
So I think that's one possibility, but I also believe that there was a conversation 12 months ago where he and his partner Kim had talked about a desire to live long-term in Queensland.
Right.
And that Collingwood opportunistically thought, we could get Matt Rowell here, you know, if we're smart about it. Let's try to put Treloar, who might go up there anyway, you know, and something else into a deal to Gold Coast.
Yep.
And he gets pick one. Gold Coast, of course. Thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
But then I reckon from that point onwards, for me, the seed was planted. And I just wonder whether...
So he knew about that? Or did he know about that?
He knew about that. His management knew about that.
Okay.
So that's one thing. But then I think to turn around later in the year... So I would love to know, was it March? After that deal didn't happen. Was it March? Was it May? Was it September that the next conversation is, hey, you know how we had chats about, like, we think you should go again?
Yeah.
Because the timing of it changes, I think. If it's after the season, you know, after you've just won a final and you know, he constantly got wheeled out on, you know, AFL 360 and media, and he speaks really well on behalf of the club. He's very raw and honest.
Yep.
I just wonder what was the timing, because I think that changes it. Yep. And only Adam and only Collingwood and only his management will ultimately know the truth. While we all report stuff and we like to think that we're as accurate as we can be, and I think... The reporting of stuff this year has been high quality. Ultimately, those parties only know their truths.
Yeah. And the other element to this is the hub. So Nathan Buckley, all the bosses at Collingwood, seeing this bloke every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, probably talking to him more than they would at, you know, a club situation, because they're in the hub. You wonder, just in their own mind, in Buckley's own mind, in the list manager's own mind, when they made that decision that, I think we're going to try and move Adam Treloar on, and why they didn't tell him.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's a very worthwhile conversation, as is what has happened with Jaden Stevenson. So, you know, not just Treloar, but I think the fact that, I just talked about, Matty, that only Treloar and Collingwood and his management will know, and we have to wait for them to speak till we can get a full grasp on what's happened. We've now heard from Jaden Stevenson, so we have a better grasp on what's happened. Not full, because we haven't heard the other side of the fence, and that's Collingwood. But this is Jaden Stevenson giving a fairly raw interview.
I've got a trade done.
Oh.
Just before we get to Jaden Stevenson. Good. Mitch Cleary from AFL.com.au is reporting that Orazio Fantasia is on his way to Port Adelaide. Pick 29 and a future third round pick for Fantasia and 73 coming back. So that deal gets done.
Right. So Port Adelaide get to Essendon get a little bit more than they wanted. They will argue that they get 29 and... a little bit worse than a third, given that they have to give a later pick back. Ultimately, it was just the original offer from Port was 29.
Right.
So Port will figure, well, we're probably not going to use that future third. They've got Jace Burgoyne, son of Peter, coming in next year. So as long as they kept their first and second, they can use the points.
Yep.
Probably don't need a third. So I think that's a fair trade for both parties.
Yeah. And he's been going there for a while, hasn't he, Fantasia?
Yeah, well, there was talk about it last year. Well done from Mitch Cleary on AFL.com. But what we'll do is we'll clear a break. We'll come back. There is some breaking news out of the NRL and Josh Adokar as well, which is fascinating. We are going to get to that. But we're also going to hear a very raw interview, or part of it, from Jaden Stevenson chatting on SEN earlier today. I think we got a better understanding of what happened in the last few months with that situation. This is Sports Day. Stay safe, self-isolate, and if drinking, please drink wise. And remember, being prepared for a fire could save your life. Download the Vic Emergency app at emergency.vic.gov.au.
Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home.
Welcome back to Sports Day. You're listening for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Sam McClure and Matt Granlund with you live on Trade Deadline Day. We are 9 minutes away, Matty. No deals for Jeremy Cameron. I've just heard from one of the clubs involved in the Adam Treloar deal. No movement. There is now anxiety, significant anxiety, as to whether this deal is going to get done. There has been a deal done as per Mitch Cleary, who, by the way, on AFL.com.au has clearly announced himself as the number one man when it comes to trade. Orazio Fantasia on his way to Port Adelaide, pick 29 plus a future third for Fantasia and 73. I can't be reading this right, Benny. Tom Phillips has gone to Hawthorn for pick 60?
65.
65, okay.
Still, that's an unbelievable deal.
Even worse.
They've done very, very well there, Hawthorn.
Benny, our producer, is a mad Collingwood fan.
Pick 65.
He's just thrown his hat across the studio.
Well, this must be just cap. We're talking about the salary cap issues that they've had.
Yeah.
They must be just so desperate to get money off their cap. I'm not too sure what sort of money he would be on Tom Phillips, whether he's well paid or not.
Be on reasonable money.
So they just must need to clear money out.
Am I right in saying that Phillips' 2018 year, was it the year they made the grand final that he was in all-Australian kind of form that year?
Yep.
No, Benny's absolutely nodding his head vigorously. So pick 65. So Hawthorn, Graham Wright and the team again have just waited until the very last minute. Because I would think, without thinking about it too deeply, I would think that Tom Phillips' trade value right now is somewhere around a mid to late second round pick.
Well, that's
is that fair and reasonable?
I would have thought so. It is a clear salary cap dump. Is that what they call it? And we're still waiting on
salary
the other ones.
Salary cap dumps are usually on guys that don't play much, though. I mean, Phillips will play every week for Hawthorn, won't he? I'm not saying he's Isaac Smith, but he will play in Isaac Smith's role that he has left vacant.
And if your mail is right on the Treloar deal, that things aren't moving there, that is going to be a few relationships that will have to be repaired if he's going to walk back into the Collingwood Football Club without having that deal done.
Okay, so we've got 7 minutes left. What we're going to do is we're going to play a couple of minutes of Jaden Stevenson, a really raw chat on SEN Drive earlier today. It talked about, amongst other things, how it came about and his conversations with coach Nathan Buckley.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind of a week. Not really sure how it's all gone down, but I'm very grateful for North Melbourne and the opportunities that I think will arise there. Yeah, I think it'll be a 5 years, which obviously got a really good young group of guys with Jai Simpkin, Cam Zerha, Nick Larkey, just to name a few. So I think we can really grow as a group of young players and be guided by the senior players in the team, like Luke McDonald and Jack Siebel, Robbie Tarrant, those sort of guys. So I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah, it was probably a week or a couple of days before the trade period started. My manager came to me and said, look, you might be up for trade, mate. And it sort of was a bit of a shock to start with. But as the time's gone on, I've come to terms with it. And now I think I've made the right decision.
It's obviously been a difficult year for you. I mean, you weren't playing the footy you would have liked come the end of the season, did you? Was it that bad though that you needed to change clubs, I suppose?
Not at all. I said the whole time I wanted to stay, and obviously built some great relationships there with players, coaches and support staff, and honestly loved playing at the club. But it's not always to be, and I think I can build those same relationships with the players, coaches and support staff at North Melbourne and really look towards the future, which I'm excited about.
So how was it explained to you, and was it Nathan that you ended up having conversations with about why you were in this situation?
Yeah, not really. We sort of, my manager sort of came to me, and then I heard nothing from the club. So then I gave Bucks a call myself just to see what was going on and how it was. And he just pretty much said, mate, look for a trade as aggressively as you want and we'll try to facilitate it. So, there wasn't a very clear reasoning or anything, but like I said, I think it's all worked out for the best now.
It must be extremely disappointing to hear that. Not a lot of conversation between the senior coach, but did he outline the reasons as to why he told you to find a new home?
He said he doesn't know if I've allowed myself to open up to the group, which I don't necessarily agree with. But if that's how he saw it, he's the coach, and that's he's provocative. So I'll definitely be endearing myself to my new teammates and coaches, and hopefully I can put a better foot forward there if that's what he thought my problem was.
Fascinating stuff there from Jaden Stevenson on SEN earlier today. Hey, Matty, before we get to a break and then we'll come back right on deadline time, shock news in the NRL space and maybe another reason so many of their fans wish they had a trade window like the AFL. Josh Adokar, who you saw in Origin last night, what he's capable of.
Star.
Probably the best winger in the NRL. Might be a top five player in the NRL. He's contracted to Storm for 2021, but it was essentially an agreement that they had to go to West Tigers, which was the result of a heads of agreement between the two clubs. The Tigers have now been told by the Storm they will not release Adokar from his current deal. So that means, and our producer Benny is a resident NRL man, he'll be playing for the Melbourne Storm in 2021. Yep. Oh, well, he's playing for the reigning premiers.
Yep. Well, they can do that. Obviously, the Storm weren't able to replace him. They don't have a trade window. So they can just renege on the deal and he'll be playing for the Storm.
Yeah, he cited family issues for wanting to leave. So it's not, I mean, it's not the same as Adam Treloar, but there's similar kind of elements. Anyway, this is Sports Day for Wilson Homes. You can chat with one of their friendly staff today about personalising a home design to suit your individual lifestyle. Maddie and I will be back right on trade deadline. Are the deals going to get done?
Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home.
Welcome back to Sports Day. You're listening for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. It is trade deadline day, and the deadline, as of 60 seconds ago, has shut. Matty, what deals have been done, and more importantly, what deals haven't been?
Door is shut. I can tell you that Jeremy Cameron is a cat.
Woo!
So the
big
key
sigh
forward,
of relief you can hear all the way down the highway.
We don't know the details of the deal, but he is a Geelong player, so great for the Cats. They've got Sean Higgins, Isaac Smith, and Cameron. But Josh Dunkley will stay a Bulldog in 2021.
Extraordinary.
And Adam Treloar will remain a Magpie in 2021.
Even more extraordinary. I cannot believe that that has happened.
So, yeah, I mean, that's extraordinary. Certainly the Treloar one is the most interesting one, given how weird that was, and the relationship between Nathan Buckley, the coach, and Adam Treloar, and Adam Treloar and teammates and all the rest of it. That's going to be very difficult walking through the door again for Adam Treloar. And then the Dunkley one, we talked about it. You know, here is a player that obviously has been talking to the Bombers for a while.
Yeah.
They sold him a... plan, and they wanted him to be a big part of Essendon. There was talk that he could even be the captain of the Bombers one day, that he's got such great leadership abilities, and they weren't able to get the deal done, and they leave Dunkley hanging, really. He wanted to leave the Western Bulldogs, and he stays there. So
Matty, are you in the camp? It's usually two camps with this sort of stuff. The camp that, well, Essendon stuffed it up, it was incumbent on them to get the deal done, or the camp that, well, the Dogs are being ridiculous, they valued him too highly, and they shouldn't be holding a guy to a club against his will.
I will say this idea that he's worth two first-round draft picks, for me, is ridiculous.
Okay.
I think pick eight was enough. Maybe pick eight and a future pick next, maybe not a first-round, maybe a future second or a future third, but I do not subscribe to the fact that he is worth two first-round draft picks. But in saying that, it was the Bombers. It was on them to get this done. I mean, they are the ones that spoke to Dunkley. Dunkley publicly declared that he wanted to go. So the Bombers should have been able to get the deal done.
They have got a deal done with Jai Caldwell, we're hearing.
Okay.
Who has made his way to Essendon, according to Mitch Cleary, the newsbreaker. Fascinated by all of this. I'm also fascinated that it's now 7:35 almost, and we still don't actually know what the deals are.
Yeah.
Let me just have a 30-second vent here for a second. How have you had 2 weeks to get these deals done, and it gets to 7:30, and most of them don't get done, and the ones that do get done, we don't even know 5 minutes after the deadline.
That's ridiculous,
anyway, sorry.
Isn't it?
I mean, if I can... the way that technology is at the moment.
The trade period.
Absolutely phenomenal.
The trade period, number one, should be shorter. Okay, give them 5 days. They're already negotiating before
three.
That.
I think three.
3 days. They're already negotiating. You don't have to
negotiate
have this,
all year.
That's right. So you, and then just get it done.
And don't, this whole thing of like, it helps with sponsorship and money. Please, find a new way. Yeah. And you know what the other thing is, that fans are not stupid, Matty. Fans are not dumb. They're actually really, and radio listeners and newspaper readers, they're very intelligent people. And they know that they're being taken for a ride when you say it's going to be, it's 2 weeks.
And so the big winner out of this, now this trade period is done and dusted, no doubt, is the Cats.
Yes.
What they've been able to bring in.
So Cameron, Higgins.
Isaac Smith.
Isaac Smith.
Yeah.
Yours.
Huge. They lose Gary Ablett, obviously retired. Harry Taylor retires.
Arguably three players who could already be in their best 12.
Yep. And they keep Asava Radigalia as well.
Yep.
There was some thought that he may go to GWS and Parfitt.
Yep.
So he'll probably play as a second ruck to Stanley, and I reckon Blitzarves will go back. Harry Taylor obviously retires. So maybe, no, it could be a bit skinny in defence, but that's a big win. I heard, I think it was Kane Corn say that they
hang
will
on,
be premiership
hang on.
Favourites.
Just hearing that Adam Treloar may have in fact got to the Western Bulldogs.
Ooh.
Pete Ryan from The Age is reporting that Adam Treloar has joined the Western Bulldogs and Josh Dunkley has stayed.
Wow.
That's...
What a win for the Bulldogs.
Hugely significant.
What a win for the Bulldogs. So the Magpies would have had to have paid a big chunk of his contract. He was on the reports $900,000 next year, so they would have had to at least play, you know, $300,000 of that, the Magpies. So they get to keep Dunkley and also bring in Adam Treloar. It's quite a midfield, isn't it, the Western Bulldogs have at the moment after that.
And a strange turn of irony, by the way. Josh Dunkley wanted to leave the Western Bulldogs for more midfield time. That's now become harder.
It has. And the thing with Adam Treloar is that's the only position he can play. You can't really play him off half back. He butchers the ball a bit too much for that. You can't really play him as a, you know, Dangerfield type forward. He's a midfielder and that's it. He's in the guts. So you're right. That's not going to be good for Josh Dunkley, who hasn't been able to get that deal done to go to the Bombers. So it seems like out of all of this, Josh Dunkley is the one that's missed out. Adam Treloar has got to, you know, got out of Collingwood. Not that he wanted to go, but he moves. Jaden Stevenson moves. Jeremy Cameron moves to the Cats. He obviously wanted that from a fair way out. But Josh Dunkley, who was desperate, not desperate, but, you know, wanted a new start and a new club.
Yeah.
He stays at the Western Bulldogs and doesn't get his wish.
So he's still trying to work out exactly what the deal is, unfortunately. Some of these deals have gone down, but the details of which we are unsure. But the trade deadline has expired. Jeremy Cameron, all you need to know is that he is at Geelong. Josh Dunkley has stayed at the Western Bulldogs. And I am told now by Jake Nile on the phone that Adam Treloar has been traded for pick 14 and a future second.
Right.
Their original offer was a future second, which was clearly just an initial offer to just sort of say, hey, what are you thinking? The Pies have managed to swindle pick 14 into that. I know
that's not bad.
I know what Collingwood fans will be thinking, and I know they're angry, but let me just say this. It's not the worst deal.
Yep.
You've got a top 15 pick and a future second. We don't know where the Dogs are going to finish, but it's likely to be somewhere in the 30s, you would think, if they finish top six. Otherwise, it's pick 15 and a pick in the 20s.
And they've got money off their cap that they were desperate.
Which is obviously the big thing.
And they cleared cap money with Stevenson and also Phillips. So they've got, who knows what they can do next year. Maybe they'll have some money there to make a play for, you know, another big fish in at the end of 2021.
There's going to be a lot of disappointed and angry Collingwood supporters. I think Ned Guy, from what Benny tells us out the back, is actually going to do an interview tonight on Fox Footy at 8:20, is it, Benny? Which is 40 minutes from now. That is going to be compulsory viewing. Mm. Because... And the funny thing is, it's not funny. The intriguing thing is about this, Matty, is that I'm not positive this is all on Ned Guy. I know he's the list manager. Remember, he only walked in there, was it a year ago or 2 years? When did Beams happen, Benny? 2 years ago? End of 2018, 2019, so 2 years ago. Mm. Yeah. He just started, and they said, go get Beams, and they gave two first-round picks for him.
What about Collingwood now? Okay, so Treloar's gone, Stevenson's gone, Phillips is gone. How worse off are Collingwood now after this trade period, do you think?
It's a great question, and I'm going to need a night to think about it.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know whether they're – I think that they are, on paper, weakened by what's happened for round one next year. Mm. But the question is, are they stronger with what they get in over the next 5 years? I can't answer that question, and I don't think anyone can answer that question yet.
And you clearly say that Geelong are better off, and after what the Bulldogs have been able to do, they get Treloar in and keep Dunkley, they would be better off as well.
Just an amazing situation. It's absolutely fascinating. I'm staggered, to be honest. I went into today thinking that there was probably, of everything, there was only probably a 5% chance of Treloar going to the Dogs, but Dunkley staying.
Mm.
And I, speaking to the Western Bulldogs last night, that's exactly how they thought it would be. It would either be that Essendon, you know, prop up and give two first-round picks, and then, okay, we go and get Treloar.
Yep.
Or Essendon don't, and we don't get Treloar. Or there's the very thin possibility that Dunkley stays and we get Treloar.
Yep.
That's fascinating. What an amazing end to an incredible time. We're going to, Matty and I are going to need the night to think about this. And obviously the deals are going to continue to come through. How much time have we got there, Benny?
About a minute and a half. Just recap.
So Dunkley doesn't get to the Bombers. He stays at the Dogs.
Mm.
Jeremy Cameron is a Cat. Ridiculously, we still don't know the details of the trade, even though they've had the best part of 2 weeks to actually figure it out. Treloar gets to the Dogs for pick 14 and a future second. Jai Caldwell gets to the Bombers. Fantasia gets to Port Adelaide. Ben Brown, who we spoke to off the top of the show earlier, Matty, gets to Melbourne. Stevenson and Bossett of Villago get to North Melbourne. I'm going to stuff up that name every time I say it. Jack Higgins gets to the Saints. Alex Witherden goes home and is playing for the Eagles. And Tom Phillips to Hawthorn for a pick in the 60s.
Pick 65.
65, amazingly. That's been an incredible night, Matty.
It has. And, poor old Josh Dunkley is the one that's missed out. He doesn't have a dance partner at the end of it all. Everyone else has got a dance partner. But Josh Dunkley, who boldly put his hand up and said, I want to leave the Western Bulldogs, fresh start to Essendon. He stays, and he stays in what is a very potent midfield now with the inclusion of Adam Treloar.
I've got some phone calls to make when I get home. One of them's going to be to Liam Pickering, Josh Dunkley's manager. One of them's going to be to Essendon. One of them's going to be to Collingwood. And one of them's going to be to the Western Bulldogs.
Wow. Lot to talk about tomorrow night as well.
Yeah, lots to talk about. Matty and I will be back from 6, a bumper edition of Sports Day. We'll speak to the latest movers and shakers. We'll try to get maybe Josh Dunkley on if we can. Look at me put the pressure on Benny with one day to
go. The great Benny's in next too, Benny Jones.
He is. So before we finish for the night, after the break, our man Benny Jones, he's going to catch up with PGA.com journo Ben Everill. Of course, trade is big, but so is the US Masters Golf. We're only about 3 hours away from it finishing. I'll be watching. Matty, depending on family duties, may be watching as well. The US Masters underway tonight. 5 Aussies in action. That's next to wrap up what's been a huge night here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Day. It is all thanks to Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. And, of course, thanks to our wonderful friends at Golf Australia. It's a great sport to get the kids involved in. Sign your kids up for golf at mygolf.org.au. It's only hours away from teeing off. This is going to be an Augusta Masters with a difference in November. I still can scarcely believe we're saying that, but that's 2020 in a nutshell, isn't it? Over there on the ground, covering all of the action for PGA.com, one of the leading golf journos in the world, and he's also an Aussie as well. Ben Everill has been good enough to join us here on Sports Day. Ben, you're there in the thick of the action, although, dare I say it, in 2020, the action probably looks a little different than it has in previous years. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me, mate. Yeah, absolutely, it's different. It's a bizarre Augusta National, that's for sure. No patrons, no people around, no ropes, just way open spaces and a couple of really decent golfers, the best in the world, going at it for a green jacket. And I'm really lucky, actually, to be here amongst us because, you know, I'm standing right next to Tiger Woods, Adam Scott and the boys, and watching them all go for it.
Now, we spoke with Mark Hayes at Golf Australia a little earlier in the week, Ben, about the build-up to this tournament. And, of course, it's going to be different. But also the atmosphere from there on the ground, in the surrounds, the districts and towns around that beautiful and famed and iconic golf course. You're there. What does it feel like? Because, of course, we know in the background we've just had all of the controversy of the presidential election, and that continues to rage on. Coronavirus is still such a... Well, it's a disaster over there at the moment. So in the surrounds, I mean, can you paint a picture for us? Because as you said, this would generally be a place that is buzzing around this tournament in April.
Yeah, look, you normally can't, you know, get anywhere around the course. You can't get into get a feed. You're trying to get a drink at a bar. You're 20 deep. The place is usually just awash with people. But right now, not the case. And, you know, we've still got partial shutdowns in restaurants and mask ordinances in certain counties and all the rest. So I actually went and talked to the owner of the iconic steakhouse that I usually visit most nights when I'm here in April, T-Bones, and he put it straight. He said, it's like the tournament doesn't exist. Mm. Even though it's on, the town does not look like it's on at all.
Well, there is a tournament, and we're going to drill down into some of the main hopes that might be contending Monday morning our time, of course, Sunday over in your part of the world at the moment, Ben, but all important weather forecast, because we've heard some pretty, I guess, worrisome headlines in the build up to the tournament. We know that last year's event, particularly the Sunday, there were concerns about whether that would even eventuate, and thankfully it did, and we all remember what unfolded there. But what's it looking like over the next couple of days from what your understanding is from the Bureau over there? Are there any concerns that this is going to be a heavily interrupted tournament?
Look, day one is the biggest issue we've got. We've got 100% chance of thunderstorm and rain at the moment as it stands, and it's going to be overnight right through. So that is a big issue. We may have some time in day one off the course if we're unlucky. But luckily, the rest of the week is actually looking like it's going to clear up. Originally, that wasn't the case. But if we can get through that first day, we might be all right. And we do have less daylight at this time of year as well, plus college football and NFL to worry about on the weekend. Things will start early on the weekend because of those things here in the US.
It's amazing the juggling act for organisers, but full credit to them for just getting this tournament to the starting line. You mentioned the shorter days, and as a result, and this is going to be a unique part of this 2020 edition of the tournament as well, Ben, the split tees. Obviously, we'll have players groups starting from the first as per tradition, but also a little different. It does happen in some tournaments around the world, but we'll have others starting from the 10th. I think Mark Leishman falls into that category in a few hours' time. And, well, you talk about stretches of holes that can really test the best golfers in the world. I'd suggest 10 through 14 doesn't get much trickier. So early part of a tournament, you're always nervous. And then you rock up to the 10th and you've got those in front of you. It's going to be tough.
100%. If it is a bit cold in the morning too, you can imagine trying to crack it down the 10th there and then hit 11. 11's a really tough hole. Before you hit Amen Corner then. And if you get a little bit of morning wind around the 12th, good luck guessing your club and your line there. So they'll have to take that with a grain of salt and do their best knowing that everybody's sort of going to face it at some point during the tournament. But, definitely different.
So Ben, what will we notice as we sit back in the couch, you know, in the wee hours of the morning and are watching this all unfold from a visual point of view? Naturally, yeah, the lack of galleries, the non-existent galleries, of course, with COVID protocols. But from a visual, we know that Augusta in April, it looks like a painting wherever you turn, whatever hole you're on. But what will be the most striking difference, do you think?
Well, you won't see the pinks and the purples and the colours, but you will see sort of orange fall, as they call it over here, autumn colours and the leaves and whatnot. It's a different look. It's quite fascinating, really. And you'll get a lot more wide shots and sort of drone shots if the weather comes good, because without those galleries, they're able to sort of put the cameras up in the air and give you that wide view and see just how amazing this property itself is. We might even get to see a bit more of the elevation change that you can't usually see on television and get a feel for that.
It's going to be great to watch regardless. We mentioned Mark Leishman. We know he's a super consistent performer on the tour and is always seemingly in and around the mix when it comes to the majors. And from another Aussie angle, of course, we know Adam Scott has been there and done that, has overcome his COVID issues of late. Jason Day's played some okay golf in the back half of the year. And we've got plenty of others that are around the mark. But if you had to stick your neck out, Ben, pre-tournament and suggest maybe one Aussie that we should be perhaps pinning our hopes on more than some of the others, who's in your sights in that regard?
I'd have to go with Jason Day. He had three really good rounds at the Houston Open last week. He did fade in the final round, but that was just due to a bit of a wonky driver. His putting was back to some of its best over the first 3 days. If you can bring that here, he's always a hope because there's more room to miss off the tee at Augusta than most places. And as long as you can get those second shots close and make a few putts, you're a real chance. And Jason's had three top fives here before. I think he is a shot. So if you can get a half-decent look at him, we might get lucky there.
And if we take the green and gold blinkers off, if you will, Ben, looking across the field, again, star-studded, and there are so many players, major winners in the mix that will certainly be, you'd think, putting their hands up down the stretch on Sunday afternoon. Who's playing the best golf at the moment? And obviously, you look at someone like a Bryson DeChambeau. Obviously, he's got the major under the belt now. Dustin Johnson, we know, is always around the mark. But, is there maybe another name we should be looking out for, or two or three?
Yeah, look, those big hitters are the ones to watch, especially with a wet golf course. Bryson could tear this place apart if he's on his best form. DJ, you mentioned, but I like others like John Rahm, who almost won in Los Angeles a few weeks ago. You could look at Brooks Koepka, the same. Him and DJ were very close in Houston last week of getting that job done. So anyone with the ability to bash it out there in the air and then make a few putts is going to be very tough to beat in these conditions. Err to the side of length, I would say.
Golf journalist from PGA.com, Ben Everill. Any chance John Rahm will approach the 16th the way he's done, obviously, in the last couple of days with that viral video that went around, that amazing skimming shot that you have to see it to believe it. That was something pretty special, Ben.
Yeah, to be able to, on demand, step up, put and hit a ball from in front of a pond, skip it six times over, catch it three ridges, turn it around and make a hole in one is just utter ridiculous, isn't it? And the funny thing was, the day before, he made a legitimate hole in one on the fourth hole as well, one of the hardest holes on the course, the longest par three. So he's clearly got some form on the board, and he's just had a birthday too, so he's feeling in good spirits and is one to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, before I let you go, Ben, and obviously a good night's sleep for you ahead of the action getting underway. Like I said, just a few hours away our time. It wouldn't be a Masters conversation without me mentioning Tiger Woods. Of course, as I mentioned, 18 months ago, it feels a lifetime ago. And for many people, it probably has been since that iconic moment, the return to glory in the 2019 Masters. He's one who is no stranger to rewriting the history books and being a historic Masters in 2020. Who's to put it past Tiger doing something pretty special over the next 4 days?
Yeah, look, guys who have contended late in age that have won the Masters before for many a year. I think Jack Nicklaus was even contending at 56, and he won at 46. Now Tiger's 44, could do it again if he gets the right conditions. The hardest thing for him is going to be, actually, I think, not just the fact that it's going to play long, but the fact there are no fans. He feeds off that energy. He feeds off those roars. Without that, it'll be harder for Tiger to sort of chase down those that'll start hot. He just rides the wave usually, and they certainly bring it for him. Without that, and that's, myself and some colleagues can get down there and start yelling for him, he might find it a bit tough.
Well, it's going to be fascinating viewing, whatever the case. And if you're a parent out there and you wish that your folks had got you into golf a little bit earlier, you can do it for your kids by signing them up to mygolf.org.au. And who knows, one day they might be playing at the beautiful Augusta National, hopefully back in April once we steady the ship and get life back on track. Ben, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it pre-tournament. I know you'll be covering it from all angles for PGA.com. So all the best over the next 4 days. Try and stay dry tomorrow, if that's possible. But let's hope it's one for the ages, a real classic. Unique it will be, but there'll be some great golf played, I've got no doubt.
Yes, thanks for having me, mate. It should be a great 4 days, and hopefully an Aussie can come out on top.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice? Ben Everill there from PGA.com joining us. More Sports Day still to come for Wilson Holmes.